Well, good morning and welcome to Lancaster Baptist Church. If you're visiting the first time, a very warm welcome to you. As you know, singing is very limited this morning. The worship group will bless us with their lovely voices and incredible talent at the same time. If you're visiting for the first time, may the Lord bless you, and I'm sure the Lord will speak to you wherever you come from, however you've come this morning. It is my prayer, my hope, and my firm belief that the Lord will meet with you to the power of His Spirit to minister to your own circumstances, to your own heart, to your own life as you walk with Him this morning. I thought I'm going to start with a verse as a call to worship that the Archdeacon of Canterbury has addressed his synod this week. And this is the verse that he said to the whole, I guess Anglican, says, "Then he brought me into the inner court, a call to worship, to experience God's love and grace, through the south gate." And this is really to the memory of what's happening today, to the great celebration of the victory that we deserve. And he measured the south gate. He had the same measurements as the others since 1966. Well, we deserve it, but I know, but as we are a very faithful, loving, fully devoted church to God's cause, I have arranged for all of us to have from 12 o'clock a day of fasting and a prayer meeting at 8 o'clock tonight. I'm sure you will join me for that. I know. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that as you invite us to come into the inner courts of your heart, we pray that we experience your love, your grace, your forgiveness in a new, refreshing way. We have the victory in and through Christ. We have everything in you. We pray this morning that as we worship, as we bring praise to your name, your Holy Spirit will move among us. We'll have indeed a spirit within us that will be one that will shout out, "Abba, Father, Daddy," a spirit of celebration, a spirit of joy in our hearts. Although not being able to sing, yet our hearts will bring praise to you. Lord, we thank you for the privilege to worship you together in these challenging times. May everything we do this morning here be pleasant before you as an aroma, as a fragrance before the throne of your mercy and grace. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So we start with, "And can it be?" Thank you. And again, please do remain seated, or if you want to stand up for whenever you want throughout the service, feel free to do so. It is better if we do remain seated, but if you want to stand up for whatever reason at any time during the service, feel free. "And can it be that I should gain?"
Yeah.
Victory belongs to the Lord, to the Lord. The reading this morning is taken from Romans chapter 7, beginning at verse 14, as we continue our journey together of learning what it means to be a disciple who made disciples, or the series that we've been calling Everyday Discipleship, living in the transforming power of God's grace. So this is the sixth in the series, and Wendy is going to bring God's word and message to us this morning. What a privilege and honor that is. So let me read those words to you from Romans chapter 7. As you can see, they'll be on the screen. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is, it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me that is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No. The evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do nor want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin. It is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind, I am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. This is God's word to us, and I look forward to hearing what the Spirit of God says to us through Wendy this morning. Karen has got a notice regarding the church meeting, and then we have a time of prayers of intercession. Thank you, Karen.
Well, good morning, everybody. My name's Karen, and I'm church secretary, for those of you that don't know. This is a short announcement for church members, whether you're sitting here in front of me this morning or whether you're watching on YouTube. On Thursday, the 22nd of July, we'll be holding a face-to-face church members meeting, the first one since January 2020. And this will take place at 7:30 p.m. and it will be in the room upstairs. There is an agenda for church members on the notice board in the Robert Street entrance, and there will be one emailed out later today. And for those of you that aren't on email, there will be one posted out later during the week. Holding it upstairs means that we can be socially distanced, and though most restrictions will have been lifted by then, we know that there are people that will wish still to follow some of the rules, to feel safer and helped in that situation, feel at ease. The meeting will contain one special business item, and also about the election of deacons and church secretary and treasurer. So please pray about this meeting over the next couple of weeks. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. Yeah, day to put in your diary there. As Karen reminded us, we haven't met for 18 months, whatever it is, face to face in a church meeting. All thanks to the pandemic, but also thanks be to God for the Zoom. Who's heard of Zoom before this? Come to a time of prayers of intercession. And if you remember last week, I have urge you and encourage you to pray for Karush, who's part of this fellowship, who's been part of our fellowship for nearly 5 years now. And I really encourage you to do so, as things do not seem as good and encouraging at the moment for him, and the way the government deals with his asylum seeking at the moment, at this stage in that journey for him. Pray for him and that process, but pray especially for him as a person, as a brother in Christ, as someone who's struggling at the moment to understand what this government does to someone like him, but also who has a huge trust and faith that the Lord will see him through this at this moment in time. And I admire him very much for his faith. Let's just come before the Lord and pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you because you are our God, a God in whom we trust, in whom we have put our faith, a God who is eager to have fellowship with us, to journey with us, to embrace us, to protect us, to give us joy. Thank you for your love for each one of us in Jesus Christ. The love that has been shown, displayed, and poured out through your Son, Jesus, on the cross. A love that has been transformed into a victory, an everyday victory for us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As we come before you this morning, we pray that through your Holy Spirit, you will hear our prayers. You will answer them according to your will. Father, we come to pray for a world that is still in turmoil, in the midst of yet still another rising variant of the virus. We pray that you'll give wisdom again to the government, to the scientists. We pray as the things will be relaxed, the rules will be relaxed in the next few days, that we will continue to protect one another, we'll continue to be protected by your love, by your healing presence, not only for us as a church and people, but also we pray that for our country as we pray for the whole world. We need your healing touch at this time, Father. Pray that you will walk with us as a church as we engage yet again with the process of being together and discerning your mind in our church meeting. May we see clearly the way ahead in the vision that you've given us into the mission that you have called us to join you. Lord, give us wisdom, understanding, and that we may see clearly the way ahead in what you're doing in our community, in our ministries, both locally and beyond. We thank you for your grace in our lives. For this morning, we pray for your word. We pray for Wendy as she brings your word to us. We pray for your grace in our lives, that we may hear you clearly, that we may have the strength to apply that word to us, to our everyday living, so that we may become disciples who make disciples intentionally. That we are not just consumers, but we are followers. That we are in a living relationship with you. We bring our prayers in the name of Jesus as we ask you to give us more love, more power, more of your Holy Spirit in our lives. More love, more power, we pray.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the words, the beautiful words of that song, Lord. We cry out to you for more of you in our lives. Lord, that's really our prayer this morning, Lord. More of you, more of your love, more of your power, more of you, Lord Jesus, in our lives. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much, the musicians, for singing that so, so beautifully. Well, welcome to this message. It's a bit of a challenge, this message, as we continue on this theme of discipleship. And thank you, Emilian, for reading that passage from Romans chapter 7 so beautifully and so powerfully. And really, that preached the message for me, the way that Emilian brought that. So I think you're already getting some idea of what this message is about this morning. The battle, if you like, between our spirit, that which is godly, and holding on to the Holy Spirit. That's when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And that part of our flesh, I don't know which books you've read, many different words for our flesh, our soul, our carnal nature, the old man, and our spirits, perhaps the new man, with many different words, but that's generally the distinction that we're looking at. But this, just to start with, time spent with the Lord can not only transform us, but also stir up a deep hunger for more of Him. And that's really something that is, again, the underlying theme of this morning. Message. We're continuing with this theme of discipleship, but there's many different aspects of discipleship, aren't there? We've looked at several already. Apparently we're on week 6. I've lost count of where we are. But this one, living in the Spirit, learning to live in the Spirit. And I think the word discipleship, it implies, and the whole message of discipleship implies change. And change isn't easy, is it? We tend to like where we are, and we're comfortable with where we're at, and we don't like change. And I think whenever we read those difficult passages in the Bible which talk about the difficult things in our life, the ugly things, we tend to avoid those passages and we skip over them. And that's one of the problems. I'm afraid we're going to not skip over those this morning. So it might be that change, as we continue in this journey of discipleship, we're all on a journey, we're all on a different journey, we're at different places, that journey with the Lord, in that discipleship process, it might mean changes to attitudes and our priorities in life. So do I believe there's anything in my life that might need to change? That's one of those difficult questions, isn't it? Perhaps some of you, I'm looking around, I'm sure nearly perfect already. But whatever stage we're at, I think we can set our hearts to look to God and seek Him for more of Him and slightly less of ourselves. You know, when I was in the first few years as a Christian, I used to look back every year, New Year, I would look back and think, how have I changed this year? How have I seen God's love at work in my life this year? Am I different? Am I slightly a better person? And I would take stock and think, oh yes, thank you, Lord. I'm a bit more patient, or whatever it is. I'm not so, you know, frustrated, or, you know, in difficult relationships. You know, I'm handling that a bit better, and I'm a bit more confident and less insecure. And I'd look back and see how the Lord had been changing me each year. And I can't tell you when I stopped doing that. And I've had to ask myself the question, why? Was I as afraid of, if I look back, I realised I hadn't changed? And has my heart grown cold? Has my love for the Lord sort of waned just that little bit? So I'm not so keen, so excited to change and be transformed and race ahead with the Lord and have more of Him. And I don't know when I stop doing that. And I wonder if it's, perhaps many of us, we get into a little bit of a rut and we get a little bit comfortable in our lives. Was it just too challenging? Did I just see ugly things in my life and think, I don't want to look at those. I don't want to have to admit that that's who I am. And as I preach this, I want you to know I'm preaching to myself this morning, very much so. I think we often think of the word discipleship and discipline very closely linked, aren't they? As linguists, we know they have similar roots. But if you look up the dictionary definition of discipline, it's quite a hard word, because the definition is train to obey rules or a code of behavior using punishment to correct disobedience. That sounds a bit like an army training regime, doesn't it? Maybe some of us have taken that belief about what discipline is into our understanding of our relationship with God. And perhaps that's given us a slightly distorted belief about God and who He is and what His discipline looks like. He doesn't punish to correct our disobedience. That's a worldly idea, isn't it? And that's not His heart. We can approach Him in repentance and confession and receive his love and forgiveness and his embrace. It's not punishment. And maybe some of us, we struggle to face those difficult scriptures and that thought of change, because deep down maybe there's a fear of punishment. We don't want that fear to stop us from approaching God, because that's a wrong belief about him. God loves me, he loves each one of us, and he accepts us as we are. But as you've heard many times, he also loves us enough to want to bring about that change, to transform us through his love, to be more like him. And if we love him, I think we will want to change, won't we? It's the same in our families and our relationships. When we love one another, we want to change. We want to be able to love those around us. We want to have those full, open hearts to one another. So we want to please others. We want to do the things that they want of us. So I wonder what it is that God might be requiring of us as disciples. I think to know him and to love him and to be obedient. And to be obedient, we need to be able to hear his voice, don't we? So we need to be in relationship with him. Jesus was in constant relationship, constant communion with Father God. And in order to be able to communicate his love and truth to others, we first need to receive it ourselves. We cannot pass on to others something we haven't yet received in our own hearts. So first of all, we need to receive that measure of love from the Lord, so that we have something to pass on to others. But in this process of change, I think it's important you understand we cannot change ourselves. It's not us who does the changing, but it's God who works in us to bring about the changes. But we can't just sit here passively and say, God, you change me. We need to engage with him, to be seeking him, to be in that love relationship, to allow him to bring about the change. We need to hear from him those little nudges. I think it's time we dealt with this, Wendy. You know, and allow him to convict us of those things which are not pleasing to him, so that we can come to him in repentance and confession and receive his forgiveness and move on in his love and his grace and his mercy. So we do need to engage with him. We can't do the change in our own strength. We often talk about surrendering. It's easy to sing those songs, I surrender all, isn't it? But on a daily basis, that's a little bit harder, because we keep coming across little problems in our lives. And as we looked in that first scripture this morning, as Emilian read it, there seems to be a bit of a battle. You know, Paul described it so clearly. I, in the spirit, I know what I should do. But I, in the flesh, do the opposite. And I, the flesh, I want to do all the things that I want in a selfish way that please me, that make me feel good. But actually, I know in my spirit, that's not pleasing to God. And all of us are in this battle. And when I had this revelation on this passage quite a few years ago, it really opened my eyes as to where the battle was. And it helped me understand why I was struggling in so many areas of my life. And maybe that's what I really want to share with you today, to help you understand as well, because we're all in this battle, whether or not we know it, whether we've recognized it yet, we are in the same battle, and it's something I think as disciples we need to get to grips with. Let's just look at a couple of scriptures. Romans chapter 5, verses 5 to 8. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind that is governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. It's quite scary, isn't it? It's quite challenging. And I think when we look at those scriptures, it's, ooh. So what do we conclude from that? If my mind is being controlled by my flesh and it's not being governed by the Spirit, then I'm on the wrong pathway. I'm heading in the wrong direction. And the last line there is, those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. And this is where the battle is. So maybe that already, you know, the Lord is showing us there might be things in our life that we are doing that we know we shouldn't. Just going to move on to another scripture. And in Galatians chapter 5, we have a similar message here. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. Paul describes it very clearly here. There is a conflict between our spirit and our flesh. And we can't just do the things that we want to do, because they will be leading us away from the Lord. Let's just look at what it would mean to be living by the Spirit. I think that's what we all want to. That's our aim in life, and that's something we can be focusing on. What would that look like? A close walk with the Lord, perhaps quick to confess our sins and forgive others, and feeding regularly on Scripture, enjoying prayer and worship, and being able to praise God freely, able to hear God's voice and be obedient to the Spirit's leading, able to resist the temptations of the flesh, not being double-minded, pulled in both directions, and able to make godly decisions to go His ways, able to bring our thoughts captive and test them against Scripture, and to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength. That's what we're aspiring towards. Sounds wonderful, doesn't it? And there's a few more living by the Spirit, a few more attributes that maybe we are growing in. Maybe we're already there. Perhaps we would be better able to encourage and affirm others, be generous with our words, our love, our money and our time, a good listener, able to reach out in love to others, living a fulfilled life, exercising all our gifts, our natural and spiritual gifts, obviously being humble, able to yield to others, flexible, loving, kind, many, many other words we can add to that list, being thankful, being grateful, having that attitude of gratitude. That's what we're aiming at. And if those of you here sitting here or watching this, that's where you're already at, then praise God. I'm really, really happy for you. I'm not there yet. I'm still in this process. I think sometimes some books call it the process of sanctification. It's a bit of a strong word, isn't it? And it's a bit hard to understand. But you see, shall we dare to take a little look at what it means to be living in the flesh? It's not very nice. We won't dwell on it. There we go, living by the flesh. Perhaps we struggle to pray and to worship, and maybe we neglect reading the Bible in the way we would want to and spending time with the Lord. We want to do those things, but maybe we just don't quite find the time to do it. And perhaps there are times when we struggle to hear His voice, and if we're not really hearing His voice very well, it's going to be hard to obey, because we're not going to be able to recognize His voice and know clearly, He's asked me to do this. It's really easy if we know that we know that we know that God has spoken something to us, then it's much easier to obey. And perhaps if we're living in the flesh, we would also struggle to resist temptation when it comes our way, which it will do most days. And perhaps we listen to our own thoughts and we believe those thoughts, our own thoughts, above the truth of God. We listen to our own ideas and our own beliefs, and we love our own lives, and we're putting ourselves first and perhaps living slightly selfishly. And this will, of course, lead to difficulties in relationships. Oh, I'm afraid there's another one. It's another list. I don't really like lists, but I haven't got time to explain it all in a more beautiful way. But let's just look at this fairly quickly. Living by the flesh. Ooh, this is the nitty-gritty of life, isn't it? Complaining, criticizing others, judging others, becoming bitter and unforgiving, finding it hard to forgive others, careless talk, gossip. Maybe we're a bit bad-tempered, aggressive, or perhaps we have a very poor self-image. We don't like ourselves. We have low self-esteem. And because we don't feel that other people are put us first, we put ourselves first and become self-centered. And maybe, you know, we're a little controlling, manipulate others. Perhaps we enjoy expressing our own opinions all the time, whether or not they're God's. And perhaps we get into pride and inflexible. It's not a very nice list, so let's move on. But we can't really avoid that. And maybe sometimes when we're reading the Bible, we just see those lists and we think, oh, I know what that list says. I'm going to move on quickly because it's too horrible and I can't possibly be like that, can I? maybe there's just one or two of those things in the list that maybe one or two of us have little problems with occasionally. The good news is, oh, it's nice to get to the good news, isn't it? Galatians chapter 5, verses 22, 25, we know this really well. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, sometimes that's patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. When I first came across that scripture, when I was a new Christian, I went into a sense of failure and depression, thinking there's no way I can match up to any of those attributes. I sort of started from the opposite. There wasn't much love or joy or peace or patience or kindness or goodness or faithfulness, gentleness in me at all. And I remember thinking, I can never be like this. Thankfully, I had a very wise house group leader at the time who explained the truth of it. He said, but Wendy, this is the fruit of the Holy Spirit living in you. It's not something you can make happen. It's not something that you can suddenly become. It's not something that you have to perform to be like this. If we try to do that, we will fail completely. But this, when the Holy Spirit is living in us, in me, that's what will grow. If there's a seed of the Holy Spirit in me, particularly if I nurture that seed, then this is the fruit that will come about in my life. And then I started to understand that it was less about me having to perform and having to get my life sorted out in my way and trying to meet this goal that I knew was completely unattainable for me. And that was the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. And then I thought, ah, right, I understand. Praise God for wise home group leaders. That's all I can say. That's what we need, isn't it? And that was on my early steps in discipleship. So, with that in mind, where are we in our discipleship process? Let's just think about, I've been using these words spirit and soul and flesh. Let's just have a little closer look. Oh gosh, time is flying. Our spirit, that's our true heart with our God-given personality, probably contains our conscience, our ability to worship God, understand his word, hear his voice. And it's what makes me. And it's also the place where we receive that spiritual revelation. That's where we are sort of linked. That's where we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's where we really understand the Lord in our spirits. But our flesh, perhaps we can see our bodies. We can feel those. They're very tangible. But probably our flesh also, our carnal nature, also contains our mind and our will and our emotions. So just remind ourselves, we're living out of our spirit. We are pleasing God, serving him, able to pray and worship, hear his voice, enjoy reading the Bible. But if we're living out our flesh, we are serving ourselves. Most of us do a bit of both. Most of us have good days and bad days. Days when we're more spiritual and days when we've got a bit into the flesh. And we can sometimes become spiritually dull. I don't know about you, but maybe like up here, it's a time over Christmas. We've had a bit much, too much food, too much television, and lovely times with family. And maybe we haven't had the same time for prayer and devoting ourselves to the Lord. And it's almost as if we become physically fat, but spiritually a bit thin. We need to exercise. And I think this journey, it's a bit like our bodily exercise. It's quite hard to start the exercise. We know it's what we need, but once we start it, it gets easier. And the exercise that we need to engage in really is giving time to the Lord, giving time and space for him in our lives. And so easily our flesh will just squeeze that out. So let's just look at the issues of our mind. Romans chapter 12 verse 2 tells us very clearly, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Yes, we're surrounded by all the ideas of the world, the media, the television, the internet, the newspapers, all the magazines. We're filled with worldly ideas and thoughts and images. So we have to be a bit careful about how much we feed ourselves with. What are we feeding our minds on? Are we allowing all of the world, the worldly ideas, to fill our minds and thoughts? Or are we able to fill our minds and thoughts with the Word of God? And although we live in this world, not to be completely overwhelmed and governed by all that is going on. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You know, our minds are a minefield, and they can lie to us. We have all sorts of ideas and thoughts and beliefs going on in our minds, very much affected by the world around us, all that we're taking in every day. And our minds and emotions are very, very closely linked, but we can believe all sorts of lies about ourselves. We can imagine, we can feed on all sorts of lies, and our minds and emotions are very, very closely linked as well. And maybe we sort of start to develop critical ideas and thoughts about others. Maybe we feel rejected. We think, oh, that person is rejecting me. It's not fair. And I'm not going to forgive them. It's not. They don't deserve forgiveness. And we start judging other people. They don't deserve it. And before we know it, we're getting into quite ungodly thought patterns. And maybe we feel I'm a victim in life. Life isn't fair. It's not fair. I've been treated with injustice. Maybe I think I deserve more. I want more. We all have a myriad of thoughts going round and round in our minds. We need to learn to bring those captive to Jesus. So easy to say, much harder to do. And in James chapter 1, verse 13, 15, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they're dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. So we have to be careful what goes on in our mind, because we can start to think, oh, I'd like to do this, oh, I'd like to do that. And maybe in sermons and worship times, we're thinking about, oh, I wonder what I'm going to have for lunch. Might be thinking about football tonight as well. But so we can be dreaming about worldly things and very closely linked to our emotions. And our emotions, we have to be careful about relying on our feelings, because our feelings are not the same as God's truth. And we might say, oh, I don't feel like getting up today. I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like... We won't, if we rely on our emotions, we won't feel like doing spiritual things, because our feelings and emotions are part of our flesh. And when we understand that, then we can engage in the battle. We can engage with God in a better way, because we can understand why perhaps we don't feel like praying. We don't feel like reading our Bible sometimes. We can just say, no, I'm choosing to do it, and make that right choice and not rely on our feelings and emotions, because they won't be speaking the truth to ourselves. And the psalmist in Psalm 42, verse 5, you can see that little battle there with him to say, why, my soul, are you downcast? So it's like he in the spirit was saying, why in the flesh are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? You, over here, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. And that's just a brief glimpse of the psalmist in that position saying, gosh, I feel quite down here, but I must encourage myself to put my hope in God, to praise him and worship. He is my Saviour and my God. Another part of our flesh, our will, our free, God has given us free will. We can make a lot of choices. We make thousands of choices every day. First thing is probably what time we get up, whether we jump out of bed as soon as our alarm goes off, what we're going to wear, what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink. Hundreds of decisions. But many of the decisions will take us closer to the Lord and might take us further away. I think the ability to make this decision will take us towards God or away. But what fuels our decisions? What motivates the choices that we make? Maybe you've never even thought about that before. What is it that's motivating my choices today? Is it my spirit, hearing from God through the Holy Spirit? Is it my flesh? Oh, I don't want to get out of bed today. Oh, I don't feel like praying. So our will is like a gate. Either leads towards God or away. So we need to recognize all that's going on inside us and learn to make godly choices. We can't do all these things in our own strength, though. This is the issue. And maybe it's a bit like in New Year's resolutions or going on a diet. I'm going to go on a diet, or I'm going to make these New Year's resolutions. I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to abstain from all the sugar and the chocolate and whatever it is we've been eating over Christmas. And how long does that last? 3 days? 4 days? See, we can't change. We can't make all these changes in our own strength. It's like pulling ourselves up with our own shoelaces, bootlaces. But it's the Lord working through us that brings about the change. But we have to have that desire for him. So if the more we open up our hearts to him, the more we have of him, the more we have of him, the more we want of him. But we need to give him that time and space to work in our hearts. We need to give him that time and space to challenge us, to change us, for us to really enjoy being in his presence. And if we don't spend that time regularly in his presence, feeding on his word, then it becomes dry, and then it's a struggle. And if we try to read the Bible with our minds, not engaging in our spirit, as it were, then it just goes in one ear and out the other, and it doesn't make much sense to us. We can try to worship God, and yeah, it's a familiar song, maybe we know the tune, but we're not perhaps engaging and worshiping God from our hearts, from our spirits. So if we're trying to lead our spiritual life out of our flesh, then it's going to be quite dry and we're probably going to fail. And once we understand this battle, once we understand why there's such a problem in our lives, when we try to engage with God, when we try to engage in our spirits, then we can see, yes, it's our flesh, maybe we become lazy and all those things which get in the way. I mean, how many of us know that when we try to put time aside to pray, how many distractions do we get? The phone rings, we suddenly think of all the important things we really need to do in life. And we might think, oh, I just need to eat this first. Oh, I just need a quick cup of tea. Oh, I just need, and before we know it, we've squeezed God out. And that's our flesh that's at work, squeezing out the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. And we have to work, in some ways quite hard to make sure there's time for God. But once we give God that time, that space, my goodness me, he fills us, he floods us, he overflows us with his love. Can we see that? I just want to, I think sometimes when we try to do this in our own strength, it's a little bit like a rose coming out from a rosebud. Now, I think you can just about see there on one side the picture of the rosebud. And what is it that makes that rosebud blossom and become that full, beautiful flower? You see, we don't go up to that rosebud and tear away the outer green casing, the sepals, if you want to be technical. We don't tear that down, do we? Because what would happen? The rosebud would just shrivel and die. But it's when that rosebud has its roots into the soil and is being fed the right things and is in the right conditions that the strength comes from the roots up through, up into the stem, and the flower, the petals, blossom and push away the outer casing of that rosebud. And I think that's a picture of our hearts, that we can't push away, we can't tear down our soul, our flesh life, but it's when our roots, we are rooted firmly in the Lord, in his love, living in the power of his Holy Spirit, in the right conditions with his love, filling us and flowing us and feeding. When we're feeding on him, on his truth and his love, we are in the right conditions, and from out of us will flow that strength of the spirit and the soul and the flesh, and all the ugly things in our lives will just fall away, and we'll be like that rose, that beautiful, beautiful, beautiful rose for all the world to see. And really, that's, I think, if you take anything away, please take away that picture in your heart. That's, I think that's the process of, as it were, the spirit overcoming the flesh, as in we see in the battle described in Romans chapter 7, verses 14 to 25 that we read earlier. So let's just remind ourselves quickly, sorry, I've gone over time, apologies. So there's no condemnation if we recognise anything on those lists. We're not trying to condemn or point a finger, but just helping us understand where the battle is, how to gain the victory, and how that hunger for Jesus is stirred up in our lives as we spend more time in his presence. So as we go from here, perhaps we could each ask the Lord, what is it, Lord, you would have me do this week that would make a difference? Is there anything that you would have me abstain from, even just half an hour of television, to put that half an hour aside, just maybe once a week, and spend time with the Lord, and then start to enjoy his presence and enjoy that relationship with him in a new way. And we can ask him to refresh our relationship with him, to reinvigorate, to bring life into our relationship with him. So we are stirred up with a passion, a zeal for God. And there's a song which I think sums this up beautifully. I'm just going to read the words. You might remember, it's quite an old one, I'm afraid. When I look into your holiness, when I gaze upon your loveliness, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, when I've found the joy of reaching your heart, when my will becomes enthralled in your love, I worship you. The reason I live is to worship you. I don't know if any of us have really got to that place where we can say, the reason I'm living is to worship you, God. We're all on that journey. But I think the words of that, when I look to you, Lord, everything else pales into insignificance. When I've found the joy of reaching your heart, Lord, when my will becomes enthralled in your love, I worship you. And that's the place we want to get to. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you love us. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us that ability to receive your love, to worship you, to praise you, to pray, to study your word, to receive the truth and revelation of your word. Lord, we pray that you would strengthen each one of us. Lord, we cry at you this morning. I was windy. I cry at you, Lord. I want more of you in my life. I want less of myself, Lord. And Lord, I'm sorry for the times when I've got it so badly wrong and those lists, I seem to be living in those awful lists of living in the flesh. But Lord, I just thank you for your grace and your mercy and your forgiveness. And Lord, I pray that you would touch each of our hearts right now, Lord, and I ask that you would encourage each one of us to move on with you, to put our hand in yours and to walk with you. Lord, I pray that you would give each of us that time with you this week, a special time, Lord, where we meet with you in a very, very precious way. And Lord, I pray you would speak to each of us. And Lord, give us those moments of delight and glory in you. Lord, we long to be close to you. We long to have more of you in our lives and less of ourselves. But Lord, it's not about just trying to get rid of the rotten stuff in our lives. It's about having you working through us, flowing through us. And Lord, we ask for more of you. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would encourage each one of us this week, Lord. Lord, we pray that for every one of us, we'd have that special time, whether it's 10 minutes, half an hour, or 2 hours, or several days, Lord, in your presence, spending time with you, growing in your love, being touched by your love, your heart. Lord, we thank you so much. Lord Jesus, we declare that we need you, but we thank you that it's not in our own strength, but Lord, you love us. Amen. I'm going to finish with the song, Yet Not I, but through Christ in me.
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to live. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold my thank you. shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley he will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me.
Heavenly Father, thank you for the beauty of those words, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Thank you, Lord, for those precious, precious words, Lord, that we are reminded that it's you working through us in each and every situation. And Lord, I just pray for all of us right now as we move from here, Lord, that you would bless us this week, you would encourage us this week. Lord, we ask for your continued covering protection to be over us and our families and our loved ones. Lord, we pray that you continue to guide us, show us the way forward for each of us. And Lord, we would give ourselves to you this week and ask that you would speak to us and encourage us and strengthen us in you. And we look forward to meeting you back here next week. We just ask, Lord, you would be with us all in all that we're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.